It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe April is almost gone. Here we are, April 24th and 25th, depending on when you're listening to this. Big shout out to my last week's guest, president of the Fisher Cats, New Hampshire Fisher Cats, Mike Ramshaw, and there will be Fisher Cats baseball in 2021. And I saw Mike a couple of weeks ago at the Shamrock Shuffle, and he indicates that there may be even a greater ability for more fans to attend. So that's a moving target, but they'll definitely will definitely be able to allow fans. We have about 120 game schedule going from May 4th to September 19th. A typical AA season is more like 138 games, but overall great. And Mike, of course, did a great job last year pivoting and using Northeast Delta Dental Stadium for things like high school graduations. But this weekend with me is Paul Ford, who is the president and CEO of FedPoint, a seacoast organization that has a pretty significant footprint. And Paul has served as chief executive officer of FedPoint, formerly LTC Partners, since the company was established in 2001. And this actually, you know, we're, of course, Northeast Delta Dental is a dental insurance company, so dental insurance and oral health are kind of my two favorite subjects, insurance, that is. And so I'd like, Paul, maybe it would be nice if you could establish your background. You've been at this kind of like me, like for 40 years of insurance work. And while you and I know insurance is exciting, sometimes the listening audience thinks, oh, my God, two older insurance executives talking about insurance. This can't be exciting. But it is. So tell us your background, and then we'll get right into how the company was formed.
Tom, thank you. Thank you so much. And it's funny you should say that, because I'm sure you've had the experience of having been at a barbecue or some kind of reception. People find out that you're in the insurance business, and their eyes sometimes glaze over. But, it's rather more interesting than people think, because we deal with risk, and risk is all around us. So, this is now going to be my 40th year in insurance. I can't believe I'm saying that, the 40th year. I started in 1982. Before that, I was an academic. So I'm probably dating myself a bit.
You went from academia to insurance. Jeez, yes. People run away from you at cocktail parties, right?
believe me, sometimes I have to find other things to talk about. But, you know, it's funny because I had done a lot of work in logic and rhetoric. That proved to be very helpful when I got into business. I suppose if I had done a lot of work with poetry or fiction, it might not have been the case, but I did a lot of nonfiction prose analysis. So if you get into any kind of business, legally oriented contracts, proposals, any kind of persuasive literature, sales presentations, it's all relevant, and I used it pretty shamelessly.
Well, I was an English major at Harvard, too, and I'm telling you, and I went back and got my MBA later at Babson, but being able to use words, particularly now where we're all communicating virtually because of COVID, and we'll get into that, has really helped me as well. But let's bring it back. Tell us how the name of FedPoint, how it got started. It also has a warm spot in my heart because I actually began my career at John Hancock Life Insurance in Boston. I was in the tower when it was then known as the Plywood Ranch because the windows kept falling out. So tell us how it was founded, and then maybe get into a little bit how many employees you have, and then we can get into things like, you know, long-term care insurance.
Sure. Well, there's another connection, Tom, because I started at Hancock myself in 1982, and I was in the tower for a number of years, so I remember.
Well, we didn't know it, but we probably saw each other on the elevators.
That's probably true. Yeah, so the company that I run now, FedPoint, formerly known as LTC Partners or Long Term Care Partners, was brought together in the late 99, 2000, it was actually a joint venture between John Hancock and MetLife. Can you imagine two mutual
wow.
life insurance giants who had competed against each other for 150 years deciding to form a partnership for the express purpose of writing what they thought was going to be a very significant contract in long-term care insurance for the federal government. So that partnership resulted in the creation of an independent entity called Long-Term Care Partners, which would be jointly owned. So as to create and maintain a certain equity between the two partners. And I was appointed to run it. The first contract was the Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program, which then, as now, is the largest one in the country with about 270,000 members. And then we started to branch out because we were doing quite well as far as the feds were concerned. And we had the chance in 2006 to build a platform which became known as Benefeds for the new Federal Dental and Vision Program, FedVIP, which was expected to have a very large enrollment, and it did. And we've run that since 2006. And in fact, this past year, we were asked to add a very large group of military people who would be military retirees who would be coming over from the old Delta Dental military retiree plan. And we brought in almost 1 million people. So we now straddle both federal, civilian, and military. It's principally long-term care, but also dental, vision, and we do premium allotments on the federal, the flexible spending accounts program for about 500,000 people.
That's amazing. And just a little pause on the dental and vision program through, you know, FedVIP. So, as you probably know through, our colleagues, you know, we spend a lot of time making sure that we get veterans out of oral health pain, and sometimes they get to go to the VA, but more often than not, because they're not eligible, they're out. And I do, they're out of luck, and I try to, we do some philanthropic work and actually invest a lot of money, but we also try to, you know, refer them to the FedVIP program, and it's, you know, it's relatively inexpensive and an opportunity for, you know, former military and uniformed service and retired service members to, you know, get dental, you know, at a reasonable price. And I know you all do a great job administering that. Tell us how the federal long-term care insurance program works under your leadership.
Well, okay. First of all, John Hancock is the underwriter. MetLife exited the program a number of years ago. So Hancock is the underwriter. We do all of the administration. So we do the enrollments. We build the powerful LTC Fed website, as we have built the benefeds.com website. We also have we do a lot of marketing support. We pay all the claims. We do the process by which people are deemed to be benefit eligible. Which is certifying that they be either dependent in activities of daily living, such as bathing, dressing, eating, transferring from a bed to a chair, that kind of stuff, or that they're cognitively impaired. And for that purpose, we have about 40 nurses who are registered nurses with a clinical experience. You know, they have been involved in the actual hands-on delivery of care. Some of them are, you know, got their experience in surgery. Others were in some kind of dementia or Alzheimer's unit, and so forth. And we do a lot of other functions. One of our specialties, and talk about not terribly glamorous or exciting, but necessary, is billing. We've developed a real facility to interact with federal agencies and departments around the country, more than 100 of them, and they trust us to take all of the deductions from their people who have enrolled in the program. By the way, we do that for 17 other companies who are involved in the FedVIP program. So if you're Delta or you're Aetna or you're MetLife, your premiums are come to you as an insurer through us. We're the ones that are trusted to do that premium administration and reconciliation because, of course, people, their status changes and they might have children or they might marry or get divorced. And so that we do all of those things.
And that detail work is so important because obviously, you know, people are in need and the last thing you want is, you know, a claim being denied because the eligibility wasn't, you know, done correctly. The other thing, which is pretty amazing, you meet all of the very stringent security standards under the National Institute of Standards and Technology. So
yes.
That must have required a lot of certification and the federal government looking over all of your systems.
Yes, it's true, Tom. We are on our way to earning our third, what they call authority to operate, ATO, which is a long, drawn-out certification process that is conducted with respect to FISMA, the Federal Information Management Assistance Act, and we have to make sure that we are in compliance with all facets of that. And, of course, also, we have to do this in compliance with all the other metrics that are imposed on us as a federal government contractor.
Yeah, it's amazing. Great work. So after a commercial break, I'd like to talk about how you led FedPoint during the height of COVID. I know we're still on the, we still haven't crossed the finish line. I'd like to hear how you were able to pivot and how you fared as, as you said, an esteemed federal contractor during the pandemic. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And this weekend with me, April 24th and 25th, is Paul Fort, who's the Chief Executive Officer of FedPoint. And more about FedPoint, and then we're going to get into how Paul led the company through the height of COVID-19. So in terms of the products, we talked about the federal long-term care insurance program. We talked about FedVIP, the Federal Employees Dental and Vision Insurance Program. I always loved that acronym. How many employees do you have? And I know you mentioned you have a number of registered nurses, but in your operation in Portsmouth, how many employees do you have?
We have 433 full-time employees, and then we employ regularly about another 50 contractors and part-timers that come in during certain times of the year. Of course, we have some 80 subcontractors, many of whom are remote, and we perform work through them. So, sometimes we have as many as 2,000 people working with us, for example, during what they call a federal government open season when there's a special enrollment opportunity.
So those enrollment periods, and you may have double the amount of people working. I can imagine that. So that's a good segue point to. So in our case, let's say at Northeast Delta Dental, on March 16th, when the American Dental Association said you could only go to the dentist if it's an emergency, and then the NBA had canceled the season a few days before, and the egg really hit the fan. We methodically, starting that week and next, got most people out of the building working virtually, and we improved their technology at home, and about 30 of us stayed in office with me because certain things, as you know, The certain mail still comes, claims still come. So, in any event, so tell us how FedPoint responded to COVID when the when the egg hit the fan in the middle of March.
Well, of course, we were following things as you were, and especially following guidelines that were coming out of the CDC. The federal government had or was about to declare a national emergency, and safety was the first thing that we were concerned about for our people. We had always had people working remote, as I'm sure have you, but we never had the entire company working remote. And within a few days, we had about 97% of all of our people working remote. In some instances, we had to give people new equipment. Some of them were used to working on double monitors. We had to make adjustments. And we had a skeleton crew in because it was extremely important to us to maintain our websites. We had a small group of IT specialists. We had help desk associates who were good at troubleshooting connectivity problems. And, of course, this is one of the biggest things, right? People suddenly are working at home, and they're working on, odd pieces of equipment. Some of them are trying to use their personal equipment. Some of them were dependent on Wi-Fi, which was not consistent. So we had those people. We had a small group of people in billing. We had a facilities manager there. We had at least one financial person. But all the rest of us were trying to function remote and doing what everybody did. We used WebEx a lot. Some companies use Zoom. And it was a lot of those sessions. And I would periodically go up to the office and pick up newspapers and other mail or look for something, a file. But we managed to get through it. And remarkably, we made all of our metrics. Now, I mentioned those metrics before, but those metrics, Tom, are pretty onerous. We have 140 of them that we're accountable for each year. And they're things like how quickly do you pick up the phone by a live trained operator? What is your billing accuracy? How quickly do you turn around claims? How many incidents have you had in terms of privacy where you might have inadvertently disclosed HIPAA data? How many seconds per year are your websites down? Did you have any problems where they actually weren't functioning? So we're graded on that stuff, and if we don't meet certain metrical standards, we lose money. There are penalties that apply.
So that must have been a challenge. I know, our phone system, we upgraded it so agents, customer service reps could take calls from home, but in an automatic call distribution manner, so the next available agent. So was your phone system already set up for that, or did you have to, make some quick adjustments? And then since you mentioned...
We made some adjustments. Our phone system was pretty well equipped to deal with it. We did develop some new cues, so that we could direct people who might have just wanted some simple information that we were offering before live, and we tried to direct them so that we could, keep the volume of calls manageable.
Amazing. And how about since you mentioned, confidential information and HIPAA, Health Care Portability and Accountability Act? I know, in our business, we also have claims. And so that was a concern, too, in terms of people working from home. So, and then you have the added, of course, the additional security standards from the Federal Information Systems Act and NIST, the National Institute of Standards. So you must have... Did your IS, your information system staff, literally go to people's homes to go over some of this stuff, or how did that work?
No, I don't think that was necessary. There were a lot of WebExes, and there were some people who troubleshot people's home environments if they weren't really solid. People had something set up on their kitchen table, and we tried to help out with that. But for the most part, we are not aware of any significant deviation in what we call incidents where you inadvertently disclose somebody's PII or PHI.
Great. Well, congratulations on that. I know how amount of time we spent on it. And, of course, now that they're switching gears a little bit, now that it appears that there is light at the end of the tunnel through vaccinations and herd immunity, I know that we're already talking about, you know, what this fall will look like. So what are your thoughts on returning to the workplace? And I'll just say what ours is up front, since we're working more efficiently and more effectively than ever, you know, we're in no big rush to get people back. I think we will probably see a hybrid model. But tell us what your thoughts are. I'm sure you've had a lot of conversations with your team.
Oh, we have. We have, Tom. I don't know. We meet every Thursday morning to have what we call a special COVID briefing with senior people. Meet about a dozen of us, and we discuss all of this stuff, and we've been doing that for now over a year. I think we will probably do what a lot of other businesses are doing. We'll have to take into account any guidance that is being given by the federal government, not necessarily because, you know, we have to follow it, but we'll want to try to be mindful of how they're doing things. So we follow guidance that comes out and that will be coming out on the whole subject of remote work and telework. But I think that what we're going to do is probably, like you, we'll have a hybrid model. Clearly, there are many people who can work very effectively from home. And without missing a beat, perhaps even with higher productivity, and of course they're not losing time commuting, there are numerous advantages. But then there are other people who have not had such an easy time. They might have been people who were working on a difficult project where there's a lot of collaboration, the need for a lot of work at the blackboard, and others felt that they missed the camaraderie and esprit de corps. So I think we're going to probably end up with a hybrid. We're going to try to start, if things go well and if the vaccinations continue apace, we may start to return on a voluntary basis initially sometime this summer. And so we'll have some people working remote and some people who want to come in. But I doubt that anybody's going to be coming in initially 5 days a week. And so if you were getting at something that a lot of people are talking about, whether we're going back to where we were in February 2020, I think that's probably unlikely.
I agree, and I think what we have found, there are certain departments, our legal department, our lawyers love working at home. They get up in the morning and they're doing emails to me like at 5 a.m., you know,
yeah.
And then our IT program, information systems programmers, a lot of them have been working virtually in some of their past career. And then there are other departments, like you say, that they miss some of the camaraderie and the things that they like to do in concert. So I think we're in a good position, like you described, because you know your company is working efficiently, so you don't have to rush back into anything. So we can kind of monitor, like you said, guidelines, both federal and state. Well, Paul, thank you for your leadership. I mean, I know FedPoint is the expert in administering employee benefit programs for large, demanding, large-scale institutions like the government, and your work on long-term care insurance is so important, as well as FedVIP, the Federal Employees Dental and Vision Insurance Program, and just your general leadership in the community. And like me, you've been at this for four decades, so we made it through COVID, and I'll have you back on the show when we're starting the return. So thank you, Paul Ford, for your leadership. And
a pleasure.
Great organization, FedPoint, which originally, you know, was established between John Hancock and MetLife, and now operates as a sub of John Hancock. Thank you, Paul Ford, for joining me this weekend.
Thank you so much, Tom.